Chase Geiser is about to take over with Sunday Night Live in the next 2 hours. Massive news, breaking clips, calls, you name it. He always knocks it out of the park. The great Chase Geiser about to take over. But I want to finish with Carl Serafin. It is often, like I said, with Al Capone, income tax goes to prison, not all the murders. And I know a bunch of rich people, powerful people. The truth is, that once you have a bunch of money, or people with money, there's nothing really out there except better hotel rooms, better travel, better medicine, whatever. But it is all about private aviation. That is the thing. When you know rich people, like, hey, fly with us here. You get on a plane, 3 hours later, you're at a badass ski resort. It's so cool. It's awesome. And in government, they don't, the generals, the colonels, all of them, I mean, the federal government has thousands of private jets. And so this is the real perk. And then it's one thing if there's an emergency, use the jets, or you know their cabinet members have the jets, but all the agencies want these jets. And so they use it as a political thing to attack the Democrats with their expansion of private jets. It's kind of like the ballroom. Even though Trump got private donors to do it, they go, oh, Trump doesn't care about poor people, the ballroom, distraction. So they understand that this is a real chink in the armor. So they were talking about Pam Bondi, and they are replacing some of these planes, so a lot of this is spin. But Pam Bondi says she doesn't want new jet after Independent exposes FBI plan for new airplane to shuttle her around.
Well, I mean, that was my story, Alex. That was my story. I broke it over on X, and then the Independent picked it up and went and found the same stuff that I was showing, which are just requests for quotations. They were, you know, they're doing RFQs and whatnot, and they were trying to find out if they could get a new plane. And she realized the optics were terrible, so she opted out. Like, good on her. She's smart enough to realize what politics is about.
Sure, and if there's a big event or official business, fly on a private jet. It's just that the Pentagon has, I mean, it's ridiculous. Thousands of jets these people are flying around on, and it's all part of the fraud, waste, and abuse, and it's a huge part of this. But see how we're talking about this, and I'm not against it. But we have Patel getting $5 million from a Chi-Com control company. You have Patel trying to cut off intelligence about terror, not just Charlie Kirk. You have Patel, you know, doing all of this stuff, going against what he said he would do. Those are my issues, but I don't know why the public, and I'm not blaming you, you cover it all, but notice they hone in on the jet thing because
I guess because it's easy. It's easy hypocrisy. It's easy to see it. People know that they don't get to fly in a private jet. Seriously, though, he went on Benny Johnson's show. If you'll play the clip, like I said, 30 seconds worth, you'll hear exactly what he says. The guy says, ground the jet. Let's do it. I agree with Kash Patel back in the day.
Yeah, here's a clip.
So are you, like, in closing here, I want to just be very clear. Republicans could get Epstein's list out now? Like, how would that process work?
Simple. One subpoena to the FBI. Give me the list. Oh, you don't want to give me the list and you're going to break the law and commit contempt of Congress? We're going to take your money. We're going to take Chris Ray's private jet. Taxpayer-funded G5 rides across the country to his Appalachian State vacation home down to Georgia and all over the rest of the place. That guy doesn't need a G5 government-funded jet. And the second you take that money, you get Epstein's list.
And then he becomes everything he said he was against.
Yeah, what if that's the thing? What if we just got to take the jet, then we get the Epstein list, Alex? I mean, that's what old Cash said. I agree with old Cash. I mean, this is easy.
And later we're told there is no Epstein list.
That's right. That's when the flip started for a lot of people. It happened earlier for me because I started seeing this move. He was immediately ghosting all the whistleblowers. So for me, that was an obvious indication that we were about to see something very different than what we expected. But there's so much on record of what the man said about all the things that we're talking about. The hypocrisy is very obvious, and the optics are even more glaring in the middle of a government shutdown, which is what the Trump administration understands. They do understand optics.
Right,
he's a showman.
Break.
He gets it.
I want to come back and talk about Epstein and then close this out. King Charles confronted over it, his brother being defrocked, no longer a member of the royals. So definitely they know more is about to come out. Let's talk about that with Kyle Server. They hand the ball to the great Chase Geiser, straight ahead. Stay with us.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way. So if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Is under attack, and you're on the front lines. Share this broadcast from your host, Alex Jones.
It's Sunday Night Live, or tomorrow's news tonight. Chase Geyser, hand the baton to him in just a few minutes, but we know King Charles is Prince Charles, best buddy of Jimmy Savile, the confirmed mass Satanist pedophile. Oh my God, if you don't know about it, folks, look into it. We know you've got Ghislaine Maxwell's dad with MI6 Mossad running these pedophile honeypots, that's all come out. And so now you've got the king's old, you know, younger brother, Prince Andrew, being defrocked, being evicted from the palace, kicked out of the royal family, all of this happening, and now the king's being confronted in public. And this goes to Kash Patel promoting himself for FBI director to release all this and saying it doesn't exist, go to sleep. And they just hope it goes away. It doesn't go away. And
no.
So I want to play this clip of King Charles just yesterday. How long have you known about Andrew and Epstein? Here it is.
How long have you known about Andrew and Epstein? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew? Have you asked the police to cover up for Andrew's Charles? What do you think? Should the MPs be allowed to debate the royals in the House of Commons?
So, from all your sources, you were the first person to tell me 8 months ago or whatever, no, it's a cover-up. And you said, it's not even, and we now have this from whistleblowers and leaked tapes and all of it, it's not even Trump. Trump's like, yeah, go find the files. They go find the files. They're all spiked with, you know, Jane Does and BS. And then all this is happening. And of course, there's not one Epstein file. But now we know more files have been released. You know, you've got Prince Andrew all over the place. Trump's nowhere there in the files. Then why is Trump going along with this?
I don't know. I mean, he's not going to be. Trump doesn't go out there and look at files and release things. At the end of the day, he's going to have to take the word of the people that he's working with. All we know is what we can see. What we can see is that certain people have changed their tune, not just a little bit, not just kind of, but all the way. They've gone 100% 180 from let's ground the jet and let's force and squeeze the guy that's in the job to give up the files. And he's the one who's got the sole control of it. Then you give him the job and he's like, yeah, there's nothing there. He didn't track to anybody. Do you think that if there was, Kash Patel has this tell. He relies on his own sort of like self-assessment of what people believe his character is. He's like, you know, do you think that if there were bad guys doing this thing that I would cover up for them? And it's like, I don't know. Would you? That's the real question. The follow-up is you just asked a question. You can't answer the question with a question. And Patel does this over and over again. So I don't know what happened to him. I've been told on multiple occasions, and it could be just the Chinese piece, that he's been compromised. But why they want to hide this or why there is anything there? Listen, if there's nothing there and there's a possibility, we should at least expect that there's a spectrum of things. There could be absolutely nothing where everybody blew Epstein out of proportion. All the way up to elite pedophiles were getting away with like destroying the lives of little girls, right? Or young girls. That's the spectrum. Okay. If there was nothing there, if it was basically a fabrication and a right-wing media just went off the rails and they all thought it was Bill Clinton and all the other bad guys and they're bad actors and they've just been talking out of their asses for years. Fine. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. Isn't Patel a media guy? Isn't Bongino theoretically a media guy? Aren't they theoretically people that understand messaging?
Well, that makes me so go back to this. Why did they first get in and immediately during the headlights say, forget it all, don't look at it? I mean, exactly. Obviously they're being told to do this. So in closing,
why? Yeah.
What are your predictions for the crisis, I would say, at the DOJ with Todd Blanche and Pam Bondi and Kash Patel and Dan Bongino? Where is this going? You say, well, yeah. The AG of Missouri's ready. I know that's the plan, but like, what else is going on? I mean, what do you predict is going to happen?
Okay, so I told you your audience this, and people are like, I thought you said he was going away. Bongino hates what he does. He's absolutely miserable. I don't blame him. It's a crappy job, and I wouldn't want it either. Being a podcast host is way more fun than FBI deputy director. It's a sucky job. It's really hard, and it's a lot of work, and it's a place that nobody is going to get any, like, there's no joy in that job. I expect he still leaves. I still think he leaves. I don't know whether it's going to be by, you know, Thanksgiving. That would be a good time to leave because there's family and he realizes he's got to go and Trump thanks him for his service. What I'm told is that Blanche and Bondi despise him. They got into that thing over the Epstein stuff and others. They don't get along. They don't speak. But Trump won't let him be fired. So he's got to leave on his own terms because he's got Trump's protection. So he's going to have to find a way out, and it's going to be either family crisis or emergency, or, you know, I can't do any more time away from my wife and it can't be fixed and whatever it needs to be. He'll find a soft exit. I still think by the end of the year, there's no other reason. And it's just a question of how long he can stick it out and try to make it look like he did something. I think he needs a win. And you guys actually saw him go out there and claim the win. He did summer heat. He was the architect of summer heat. And he went out and did like a big anti-crime push in all the major cities. The FBI does that every year, by the way, in every single field office. They just gave it a name.
Another question. What do you make of the supposed ISIS sting in Dearborn?
Well, if you look, the AP actually just said that there's nothing there. And everything I've heard is said that he went way too early. Cash Patel did. He didn't coordinate with the DOJ and specifically the United States Attorney's Office in that area. And it sounds like he may have effed up some serious equities in the intelligence community, because whenever you have these counterterrorism cases, it's not just the FBI investigating. When you start talking about foreign nexus, that's what we use to talk about either like an ISIS or an Al-Qaeda or any other foreign terrorist organization. The collection on that is being done by someone else, NSA, CIA, depending on if it's human, if there's, you know, there may be NRO, there's other, you know, NGA, there's all these different these different agencies that are out there looking into foreign countries to try to establish that link overseas. Now, the FBI will do the prosecution in America if it's an American plot, but you kind of want to know who the actors are overseas. And from everything I heard, they jumped the gun simply to try to take the credit and throw this, this jet story away.
Just like he did the day before, saying we have the Kirk assassins. So finally...
That's exactly it. It's a jump the gun sort of thing. And again, this is a flailing toddler. This is like, I'm in trouble. Can I tell mommy I did something good? Or can I tell daddy I did a good job? And the real problem is, and I think that people are furious with him, he may have screwed up a real opportunity to identify cells overseas that are trying to recruit Americans. And if that's the case, if that's what they were actually trying to establish, that, and there are serious people that are really, really upset about this, to include going back over to ODNI, the same problem we talked about. So this guy is operating in a childlike manner in maybe one of the more serious jobs that the American government has.
I was about to say, though, of all this, there's a lot of dangerous signs, but not wanting to scoop the intelligence and trying to say you're not involved to things created by Congress, to me, that's the cut and dry scandal right there.
It's really, really straightforward. If you're sending your agents in on a complaint to go out there and pick somebody up because you need a PR win. And by the way, I think they had another PR win lined up, Alex. I watched the jet go down to Mexico. So here's what happened last week. If people don't realize this, on Sunday, about a week ago, the jet flew down to, on Saturday, it went to State College and there was the singing. And that's when the girlfriend sang at the wrestling event. And then it went back to Nashville and they spent the night there. On Sunday morning last week, a week ago today, it flew down to San Angelo, Texas. And I'm told he was out there at a hunting ranch, which is cool because it's nice to go hunting in Texas in fall. So he was apparently at a hunting ranch doing some kind of like luxury, rich guy hunting lodge experience. And on Wednesday, when the scandal broke that I was pushing this forward, that was on the 25th, I started pointing out like this misuse of the jet, I'll call it. That's when he got called back in and they started scheming on what it was. They fired the guy. They go out there and they did this Friday morning takedown for Halloween of a terrorist cell that they weren't ready to take down yet. And apparently they may not even have a real case against these people because they hadn't solidified a target. So they may have screwed up a multi-year investigation. And at the end of the day, these are probably set up jobs. They've already told us that they were FBI confidential sources in the chat, in the servers that they were doing. So this was all set up like they normally do. This is the same office that did the Whitmer hoax for everyone who wants to say, well, it's ISIS. It's like, yeah, but it's the same FBI and the FBI does the same thing. It doesn't matter if you're a Muslim or if you're a white supremacist or if you're just a MAGA guy, they'll set you up no matter what. That's what they do.
All right. They've amazing. Been doing it for 25 amazing. Years, Kyle Serafin, you're batting 1,000. Thank you so much. KyleSerafinShow.com. Find you on X. Let's talk soon. Thank you so much.
It's been my pleasure.
Scary stuff, folks. All we know is that Cash Patel does not want Tulsi Gabbard looking over his shoulder when it was created by Congress to do that. That's not good. And that's cut and dry. So there you go. And then you got Bondi and Blanche mad at him because he's embarrassing. So this is not going to end well, but it shows the power of the people and the independent press that they're so scared of Kyle Serafin. They are so scared of him. And thank God we have people that have courage like him. He's been accurate. That's what I go off of. Who's been the most accurate? I want to be accurate, and I want to have guests on and sources on that are accurate. It's a real simple rule. And I don't sit around when I have some big story and go, what'll happen to me, or what's the ramification of that? I mean, obviously, I could be in the White House, already been invited, you know, press corps, all that. But I want to be outside of it because that's where the real power is. I'm not a politician. I'm trying to get government contracts. I'm just telling it like it is. All right. The mighty Chase Geyser takes over right now. He's loaded for bear in the next hour and 45 minutes. Look at that. All right. You got a lot to cover, a lot of clips, a lot to do. Great job, crew, tonight. Great job to all the listeners. We're going to cut up the last 2 hours, get that out, cut up your show, get it out. That's where the audience comes in to share those clips. I didn't plug one time, but so busy on news. TheAlexJonesShow.com, Methylene Red, going to sell out the next 24 hours. Discount. It's so incredible. The only place that has Methylene Red. It's so special. TheAlexJonesShow.com. Chase Geyser takes over.
Thank you so much, Alex. Honor and a pleasure to be with you and able to host this show on Sunday nights on your network. Well, I tell you what, I was listening to the last 45 minutes of the Alex Jones Show this evening, and Kyle Serafin is always 100% on the money, impressive with everything that he does. But I thought tonight was particularly impressive, and I'm doing the best I can to avoid getting blackpilled. I don't want to be one of these people that falls into this trap of being abundantly negative and pessimistic and just, you know, woe is me, what does it all mean, what does it matter anyway? But it's hard not to have thoughts like that when you see an administration that you had to fight so hard to get in have these vulnerabilities. Now, I'm not blaming Trump. I'm still very glad that I voted for Trump, even just for the fact that he pardoned all the J6ers. I'm still very glad that I voted for Trump, even just for the fact that he stopped the bleeding at the border, let alone maximizing the deportations, whether or not that's going to play out. And so I'm grateful for Trump in that way. But as I was talking about earlier this week, when I was streaming and just testing out some different details and settings and things for my setup over here, we've gotten to a place where the problems in the United States of America have gotten so complicated, so involved, that it's almost impossible to imagine an individual president of the United States or an individual senator or an individual congressman that would have even close to the skills necessary, or the features rather, necessary to solve these problems. What I mean is you have to have somebody who's incredibly competent. They have to be incredibly well-versed and knowledgeable about things like economics, both domestic and international, foreign policy, war, currencies, all of the different details of the management of the different bureaucracies and agencies that exist within the federal government here. They also have to understand not just constitutional law, but state-level law. And they have to know the names and the dispositions and the relationships of all the different governors and all the different people in leadership throughout the entire country. So they have to have this incredible amount of competence, knowledge, skills in terms of management, expertise, decision-making. And they have to be able to execute on actually coming up with the right policy, but execute on the leadership to get the right policy passed. Plus, they have to have a perfect moral compass on top of that, so they can't be corrupted or compromised. And you start adding up everything that the perfect president or senator or congressman needs in order for us to actually peacefully solve the problems and the level of corruption that we've reached here in the United States of America. And you very quickly realize that, whoa, it's impossible to imagine any individual person actually good enough to do the job in a way that could peacefully solve all of our problems. I mean, you pretty much would have to have Jesus Christ as president of the United States, in my opinion, to peacefully reverse the level of corruption that we've reached here in the United States of America. That's where I begin to start feeling blackpilled. That's where things start to feel a little dark for me. That's where I start to feel a little perturbed. And yes, I'm grateful that Donald Trump won this election. And I'm glad that I voted for him. I think he was by far and away the best president I could have possibly voted for of any of the options. And frankly, maybe of anyone. Maybe he was even better, not just than any of the other options of people who ran for president of the United States, but maybe he was better than anyone else in the United States of America who could have run for president. Maybe that is the case based on his experience, his network, everything that he went through between his first term and his second term, with the lawfare and the assassination attempts, the character building that we saw take place. Maybe he is the best. But then in power, somebody who I was initially excited about, I liked everything that he said on his little podcast tours and his cute little shirt that said cash as if it was his name, but it was also maybe about money somehow. Oh, wow, this Indian guy really knows how to say what I want to hear. This Indian guy really knows how to just stick it to him. This is going to be great. And then he gets into office. Absolute faggot. And let me tell you something about his girlfriend. I don't really know her. She went to college the same year that I went to college, Belmont University. And he describes her as a country sensation, a country singer sensation. Everybody at Belmont University thinks that they're a country sensation, and nobody gives a damn about any of them. None of them are country star sensations. Like, the last person that went to Belmont University and wound up being a country sensation was Brad Paisley. That was like 15 years ago. All right? There's successful people there. Yes, there's Grammy Award winning audio engineer professors there, things of that nature. There's impressive people there, but I mean, she's not a country sensation, Cash. And no, I don't believe any of the conspiracies about her being with the IDF or Mossad or whatever. She's just some cute pageant girl. Belmont University is a pageant school. She went to Belmont University to become a country star, and she's not some country sensation. And frankly, I was embarrassed to see him come out with this statement today. I was going to show you some of these clips first, but I'll just show you the statement. He comes out with this bizarre statement today. Very bizarre to be hearing the director of the FBI coming out with a massive statement in defense of his girlfriend. She's not even his wife. She's his girlfriend. And he's coming out making these just like bizarre, emotional, egotistical remarks. He just sounds like a high school kid who like heard that maybe you were talking a little bit of trash about his girlfriend, so he feels like he's got to come out and make a statement. It's like very beneath the office of the director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Oh my God, I'm just scrolling through here on Twitter and seeing all the stuff that I bookmarked for the show. Yeah, this is what Cash Patel says. I'll just show you here. I'm proud of the work of this FBI. We're taking violent criminals off the streets in record numbers, crushing the fentanyl crisis, dismantling cartels, saving children, hunting down terrorists, and so much more. Let me be clear. Remember who used to say that all the time? We will not be distracted by baseless rumors or the noise from uninformed internet anarchists and the fake news. What the hell are you talking about, Cash? I've always said, criticize me all you want. More like,
criticize me all you want.
But going after the people doing great work, my personal life, or those around me is a total disgrace. The disgustingly baseless attacks against Alexis, a true patriot and the woman I'm proud to call my partner in life, are beyond pathetic. She is a rock-solid conservative and a country music sensation who has done more for this nation than most will in 10 lifetimes. I'm so blessed she's in my life. Attacking her isn't just wrong, it's cowardly and jeopardizes our safety. My love of family will always be my cornerstone, and you will never tear that down to keep me from them. I and this FBI will stay laser focused on our mission and continue the reform we promised, rebuilding this bureau from the ground up. And to our supposed allies, staying silent, your silence is louder than the... What an owl of faggot have we just witnessed from Cash Patel? Total abundant faggotry happening right here. I mean, you hear people complain about Israel and the Jews and the genocide that just took place. There is a genocide on morale. So I cannot believe that we have somebody who is the director of the FBI, perhaps the most powerful and corrupt agency in the history of powerful and corrupt agencies in the United States of America. Maybe the NSA or the CIA aside, IRS, maybe one of those other three letters beats it, who is like such a faggot. that he would come out and call his girlfriend, partner in life, a country music sensation. Name one song she's ever written or sang other than the national anthem. Name one song from this country music sensation. What a total, utter, humongous, giant, purple, infected pussy of a faggot Cash Patel is. He is the faggot of all faggots. He is King Faggot. There is no one who could ever hold a candle to Cash Patel in the realm of competing for faggot status. He is number one faggot of all faggots in all the world. Lindsey Graham bows down and worships to him. The old version of Milo Yiannopoulos bows down and worships to him. All the faggots that have ever been faggots are being look at Cash Patel. They just love and adore Cash Patel. Let me ask you something, Cash, you fag. Why is it that InfoWars is still being investigated under a Type 3 assessment since December of 2013? You're the FBI director now. Why is it? Huh? Why is it that nobody can get a hold of you, Cash? So available, so accessible before you became the director of the FBI. Then as soon as you get put into power, the first thing you said is, I'm going to protect these good cops. I'm going to protect these other FBI directors, these other FBI agents, rather. They're so good. Nobody should be shaming these guys. No. The FBI should totally be shamed. You've been violating our rights like Bill Cosby violates a sleeping underage girl. America's been asleep. You've been anxiously waiting. That's what the FBI has been doing to the American people for decades. Decades. And the first thing you say when you get put into office as a director of the FBI is, I'm going to protect these good cops. I'm going to stick up for these good cops, and I'm going to let these brave, heroic Americans do what they do best, which is spy on InfoWars without a warrant for no reason whatsoever under a human intelligence gathering operation for the sake of trying to find dirt. So it can be leveraged to get people on a civil suit to bring down freedom of speech and freedom of the press? I hate you. I don't want anything bad to happen to you. I just want you out. I want you and Alexis to be country star sensations. You know, can you imagine that? Be the best thing since Robert Plant and Alison Krauss came together and made an album. Cash Patel and Alexis. Cash and Alexis. Just singing your country duets. I want to hear you and Alexis singing Wagon Wheel more than I want to see you on a private jet for any other reason. More than I want to see you going to the CCP. I want to hear you sing Wagon Wheel, Cash. Sing me Wagon Wheel. I'll support you if I hear you sing me Wagon Wheel. I want you to go down Broadway in Nashville, Tennessee with that country star sensation of yours from Belmont University. And I want you to sing Wagon Wheel right now because that's what you were made for, Cash. You were made for Wagon Wheel. And by the way, folks, Ultra Methylene Red, which is probably going to sell out tonight, was made for you. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason Alex Jones will always be on the air. Get the Ultra Methylene Red, which is incredible for your focus. It's got anti-aging properties for your brain cells. It super enhances all the effects of methylene blue. Study after study, research after research. One of the studies even showed a 47% decrease in age-related macular degeneration from one of the ingredients in there. So please go to the alexjonesstore.com right now. Get Ultra Methylene Red before it sells out and be the reason Alex will always be on the air.
I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. Like, it's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, And nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, that has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, me. Right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And, okay. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah. Well, now you have a 3-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize it until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Out of darkness into light. It's tomorrow's news tonight. It's Chase Geyser.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host this evening for as long as I can possibly take it. Let me just get started with this wonderful clip from Ted Cruz. I'll play it here.
At least for me, I am very proud to be a Christian Zionist. And there are some people who are embraced at the highest level of government who have said there is no one they hate more than Christian Zionists. Well, I'll tell you what, there's no one I hate more than communists and jihadists who want to murder us. And now is a time for choosing. Now is a time for courage. If you sit there and nod adoringly while someone tells you that Winston Churchill was the villain of World War II, if you sit there and nod while someone says there's a very good argument America should have intervened on behalf of Nazi Germany in World War II. If you sit there with someone who says Adolf Hitler was very, very cool and that their mission is to combat and defeat global Jewry. And you say nothing, then you are a coward and you are complicit in that evil.
Well, there's Ted Cruz for you. I guess you're a coward and you're complicit in that evil. Now, of course, he's referring to Nick Fuentes appearing on Tucker Carlson's show. It's all been covered. You've seen all the clips. You've seen all the feedback. There's nothing I could possibly tell you that you don't already know about this conflict going on between the Fuenteses and the Carlsons and the establishment cuckery that is the GOP. I mean, the GOP has become the most faggy of institutions I've ever seen in my entire life. At least the Democrats have the balls to come out with it. At least the Democrats, they're so gay, they throw a parade and they celebrate it. But the GOP, it's like Lindsey Graham. It's like, I'm going to be a fag, but I'm just not going to tell anybody about it. I just don't want anybody in the world to know what my secret persuasion is. I just don't want anybody in the world to know that I find J.D. Vance so attractive. And when Ted Cruz goes on about those Jews, it makes me want to get uncut and cut all over again. I mean, that's Lindsey Graham right there. And look, I don't have a problem with the gayness. It's just the hiding it. I don't care about it. It's like, stop being a fag. And I don't know. I guess my point of bringing up this clip is because he had this whole, like, Republicans and Jews conference yesterday, and then everybody and their mother seems to be making some kind of a statement or a comment. That's fine. And I don't want to be the type of guy that goes on and on and on and talks about Israel and the Jews and Israel and the Jews. That's the reason I'm bringing this up. I'm complaining about it. It shouldn't even be an issue. Why is it that we can't just talk about the fact that people are struggling in the United States of America? Why is it that we can't talk about the fact that I see people every single day on the way to work, whether I live in Austin, Texas, or Fayetteville, Arkansas, leaning over, obviously overdosing or engaging in some sort of fentanyl problem? Why is it that Kash Patel has to fly a private jet, allegedly, to the CCP to talk about the fentanyl crisis? Why can't we just nip it in the bud? Why is it that over the course of the last 5 years, there were 30,000 people standing at parade rest from the CCP coming into this country illegally? Why is it that we allowed more people to invade the United States of America than Russians who invaded Ukraine in the last 5 years? Do you realize that we've just come up on the other end of this massive invasion? So it's obviously very irksome when I hear anyone of any political persuasion talk about how much we should care about any other country than our country. I'm not just targeting the Jews here, folks. Or the Israelis here. I don't like hearing about it when it's Ukraine. Or Mike Johnson funding $83 billion to Ukraine on Hitler's birthday last year. I don't like hearing about it when it's Venezuela or Argentina or any of these other countries. I'm not trying to pick on the Israelites here. I wish them the best as long as I don't have to pay for it. As long as I don't have to have the weight of whatever sins they commit with the money that I give them via my forced taxation on my conscience. Do you want to commit a genocide? Fine. I just don't want to fund it. Ukraine wants to defend itself and force all of its own people to go to this war with the average age of the soldiers not being 48 years old because all the young men have died. That's fine. I just don't want to fund it. They want to put up a cemetery in Elkins Park, Pennsylvania that's got the Ukrainian trident on the Iron Cross that celebrates the SS officers that are buried there from Ukraine. That's fine. I just don't want to fund it because when I fund it, it's my fault. Because we learned from the Nuremberg trials, we learned from the end of World War II, that just following orders is not an adequate enough defense for crimes against humanity. And if I'm paying taxes, because I have to, for all of these atrocities to take place, that seems a lot like just following orders to me. And I don't want to have to answer for that to God. I don't want to have to explain to God why I was just following orders while this genocide took place or while that war took place or while this conflict took place or while this city was blown up or while this Middle Eastern leader was unseated or hanged. I don't want to have to answer for all the sins that I'm just funding. And I understand that our income is just taken from our paycheck. So it's really stolen from us. We don't give it, but if, I mean, I was a small business owner for years, and I wrote checks to the state of California, and I wrote checks to the federal government of the United States of America, and I feel bad that I did that, honestly. I'm not trying to encourage anybody to break the law out there. I'm not trying to be ridiculous or obtuse here about this. But that's seriously one of the top five things that bothers me every single day. There might be like one or two big sins that I committed in the past that every once in a while just comes across my dashboard of consciousness like a pang. And then I just, you know, move on because I got to focus on, you know, being better in the future. And then, yeah, one of the five things that crosses my conscience every single day that I'm still struggling with, wrestling with, dealing with, is the fact that I'm funding into this organization which is basically committing all the greatest sins against humanity that have ever been committed, both domestically and overseas. And then when I think about what's happening right now between China and the United States of America with this artificial intelligence arms race, of course my intuition is to hope that the United States wins, just like I hope that the United States wins when I see them compete in the Olympics. Well, golly, I hope Captain America beats the bad guys. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, the 21st century would look just absolutely atrocious if the CCP is allowed to win this artificial intelligence arms race. I mean, imagine what they'll do. They'll scale that surveillance that they've had domestically, and they'll just spread it across the entire continent and eventually across the entire world. They'll be able to surveil us from space and what we were going to do with the Golden Dome, the CCP will do, and they'll do it in its own homogenous way where you have to worship the state or else. But then I think to myself, what if the United States, the government, not America, but the United States, wins this artificial intelligence arms race? Then what am I looking at? I'm thinking about 9/11. I'm thinking about COVID-19. I'm thinking about the crash in 2006 to 2008, in which zero people went to prison, despite the fact that thousands of them knew it was going to happen. I'm thinking about everything that happened to Edward Snowden. I'm thinking about JFK's assassination. I'm thinking about the attempts on Donald Trump. I'm thinking about Charlie Kirk's assassination. If the United States wins the artificial intelligence arms race against the CCP, we're in for some massive problems, some very serious problems. A, because obviously our own government doesn't back up or support any of our own rights. I mean, just look at what's happened to Alex Jones. About every other one of the amendments in the Constitution of the United States of America was violated specifically as it pertains to the case against Alex Jones. You look at cruel and unusual punishment. You look at due process. You look at freedom of speech. You look at freedom of the press. You name it. Cruel and unusual punishment. Slavery, even. If he's going to have his wages garnished for the rest of his life for the sake of these plaintiffs. Very bizarre. So if we have none of our rights protected right now by the federal government of the United States of America, and we simultaneously have this massive, seemingly bipartisan coalition that just loves the notion of funding anyone except for the people of the United States of America, like taking our money and then funding the interests of whether it's Israel or Ukraine or Taiwan or whatever. And we're about ready to empower that government, that entity, which has taken on a consciousness of its own, with the most powerful weapon of mass destruction that's ever been created in the history of weapons of mass destruction, artificial intelligence. Do we really want to win? I mean, I'd rather have Madagascar win. At least it's been harmless over there. So this is why I get frustrated when I see the Ted Cruz's and others speak at events like RJC, and it's not like me hyper-focused on the Jews. I don't give a damn either way. But, I mean, thinking about all the problems that we really do have, what are your thoughts when you hear something like this from a Mark Levin?
Stalin admirers, Jew haters, American haters, Churchill haters, you're damn right we're going to cancel them and deplatform them. It's called the market system.
All forehead, no foreskin.
They don't have a lifetime job like a bureaucrat who we're going to protect. And if they're your friend, there's something wrong with you. No Hitler admirer, Holocaust denier, platformer should be anybody's friend, as a matter of fact. You don't get to wrap your psychotic, mental, unhinged, Nazi, Klan, jihadist bullshit around American patriotism. You don't get to claim you're MAGA and America First when you're lining up with the Marxists and the Islamists and Hamas and the terrorists.
Well, there you go. It's Mark Levin. I mean, what do you expect? And he's probably particularly irked because Fuentes came on Tucker Carlson's show and said, I used to listen to Mark Levin every single day. I liked his attitude. I liked how hard he was on the callers. And so maybe a little part of Mark Levin feels like he's responsible for creating that which he hates most. And there's probably some truth to that. Maybe Mark Levin is in part responsible for creating this entire movement he hates most. But all I know is you can't serve two masters. This is an abundantly Christian message. For you'll love one and hate the other. You'll obey one, despise the other. And we've lived for too long in a country, the United States of America, where we've had a government that's served two masters. We've had a United States government which has tried to cater to and humor the interests of the American people, while simultaneously catering to the interests of basically every other nation, not even one in particular. There's one in particular that comes up, obviously, in the context of the clip I just showed you with Mark Levin. But we have an America that's tried to serve dozens upon dozens of masters in, frankly, a political class that's served itself at the expense of the American people for far too long, but tried to pawn it off or at least act like it's been serving the American people. And as a result of that, this political class obviously despises the American people. We see Mark Levin coming out and saying that we have to censor people now because they platform people that have questioned the Holocaust. I mean, look, I disagree. I think the Holocaust happened. I think regardless of whether it happened to 6 million people or 600,000 people, I don't know. It was still a Holocaust. It was still people that were killed just because of their immutable characteristic, which was their ethnic identity. It seems like a major crime against humanity to me. No qualms with that. No argument that Hitler was a bad guy there. No argument that maybe it wasn't Anne Frank's fault. Maybe we don't have to go after little Annie just because the bankers might have screwed you over after Versailles. Sorry, Hitler. Maybe you took it a little too far. I'm sorry the Jews didn't buy enough of your watercolors, you one testicle fag. You did put the crumb on the Benz, though. And look, I don't even know at this point in time what point I'm trying to make. I guess fundamentally where I'm at, psychologically where I'm at, in terms of my emotional and psychological health, this is where I'm at. We have arrived at a place in the United States of America where our problems are so astronomical that you basically have to have someone as good, as perfect as Jesus Christ to even figure out how to be able to solve them. Morally as good, as competent, as knowing, as powerful. You basically have to have an American messiah in order to untangle this knot that we have tangled because of our screwed up nature for the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years. Certainly since the establishment of the Federal Reserve Bank. That's number one. Number two, I'm thinking over and over in my head with this fourth turning that everything that's happened in the past is about ready to happen again. And I'm seeing an awful lot of similarities between what's happening in the United States of America right now and what happened in Germany in the 1920s. In fact, I see the 1920s of Germany as the same as the 2020s of the United States of America. And what does that mean? Well, that means we're probably going to lose the election in 2028. We're probably going to run J.D. Vance. There's not going to be enough support for him. Because things are going to be neither bad enough or good enough. He's not going to win. Somebody else is going to come in from the left. There's going to be a massive crash in 2029, just like there was in 1929. And then everybody's really going to go America First. Everybody's really going to go populist. Everybody's really going to go anti-Israel. Remember, whatever minority there is what gets blamed when there's a massive collapse, and it's just always happened to be the Jews because they're always the smallest minority in every single country because of the nature of their culture, diaspora. And then you're going to see exactly what happened in 1933 in Germany, happened in the United States of America in 2033, and it's going to be blaming the Jews, and it's going to be blaming everybody else, and look, there's going to be a lot of things that get better. There's going to be a lot of things that get worse, too. They're going to come after the Jews very explicitly. I don't think there's going to be another Holocaust. But there's going to be no mercy for any of these minorities They're going to get everybody out of this country for dual citizenship. They're going to pass laws to make it illegal to hold any sort of position of influence. If you have dual citizenship or if you're born in another country, you can't teach in schools anymore. You can't be involved in the government anymore. You can't be a contractor for the government anymore. I mean, they're going to go through and they're going to do hardcore America First stuff. And it's going to require some massive crash in 2029 in order for it to happen. And it's going to be exactly what we saw happen in Germany in 1933. I am 95% sure that we are going to see almost a mirror image of the 1920s and 1930s Germany in the United States of America. I don't think it's necessarily going to pan out into some epic world war. I think we'll probably turn to more isolationism than expansionism because we have completely different variables and incentives and motives applying pressure to our country, but it's looking a hell of a lot similar to me. I mean, look, I went through, I read all of Hitler's speeches from 1922 through 1935. They started getting really boring when the war started. It was all about weapons and, you know, hoorah. I read Hitler's speeches from 1922 to 1930. This was a couple years ago, a few years ago, 2020, 2021. And I rewrote every single one of them, and I replaced all mention of Jew with leftist or Democrat, and all mention of Germany with America. And I got that book published. And it made perfect sense. Because my theory then was everything we're going through right now is exactly what Germany was going through in the 1920s. And my biggest fear, my biggest concern is not that we will win, not that America First will win. I hope and I believe that we will win, and I believe that America First will win. But my biggest concern is, what are we going to do when we have all that power? Are we going to do the same faggy Hugo Boss bullshit that Hitler did? Are we going to do the same censorship that we've been fighting against that Mark Levin is calling through it for and his neo-fascist mentality right there? You realize that what you just saw from that Mark Levin clip was basically cut and dry textbook neo-fascism, right? I mean, you realize that the guy that hates the Nazis sounds the most like a fascist, right? We're not going to forgive anybody who platforms anyone who denies the Holocaust. We're going to cancel everybody who doesn't believe in supporting Israel. And everybody knows that Israel First is the only way to be America First. I mean, this is so fascist. I can't even believe it. I can't even believe that Mark Levin doesn't see it for himself after all the brilliant books he's read. And by the way, I've got a book signing coming up in Chicago. Make sure you be there. After all the books he's come out with, this guy doesn't even realize that he sounds like a fascist. And let me tell you something. I can tell you, Mark Levin sounds exactly like a fascist. And the reason I know is because I actually read all of Hitler's speeches. Everybody thinks that the way to understand Adolf Hitler is to read Mein Kampf. First of all, Mein Kampf is just a mess. It's trash. It's narcissistic, self-indulgence garbage. You want to understand Hitler, you don't read Mein Kampf, you read his speeches, because his speeches are what worked on the German people. So you want to understand the zeitgeist of the time, you have to read the speeches, not the narcissistic, self-aggrandizing BS that he wrote while he was in the can. And when you read his speeches, you understand the fascism. You understand why it worked, why it was happening, what the problems were. And here's the thing that's crazy. The fascists, they were right about almost all the problems. They were just wrong about all the solutions. They were right about the banking system being totally corrupt and screwed up, and they were right about the youth of the nation being totally sabotaged and taken advantage of, and they were right about the influence of Bolshevism on the culture and how communism was going to be the end of Germany and its German identity, and they were right about nationalism and how there was this internationalism that was coming in and just eroding everything in the German culture. But then they decide to offer a solution where we're going to come in as the government, and we're going to censor everybody that we disagree with, and we're going to ban all other political parties, and we're going to make sure that anybody who says anything to criticize the current form of government is subject to execution. We're also going to get involved in every war we could possibly imagine and ensure that our entire economy is based off of armament We're not going to allow anybody to borrow money on interest because, after all, lending money on interest is a Jewish thing. But the banks can lend us, the government, as much money as we want on interest because we need that in order to protect our national identity in this war that we caused. I mean, it was just madness. And they were so close. They were so close to seriously, genuinely defeating communism and solving all the problems that Germany faced. But they gave way to hatred. They gave way to obtuseness. And they jumped to conclusions way too fast, and they were way too arrogant, and they got rocked. As much as Hitler loved Germany, I believe he did love Germany. He is single-handedly responsible for the fact that Berlin got shelled to nothingness. He's responsible for the total demise and suffering of Germany for decades to come as it was split between the commies and the West. Many of the problems that they face today, it was his fault. Because he took it too far. Point is, we're going to win just like the Nazis won in the late 20s and in the early 30s. And we have to decide whether we're going to become fascist, whether we're going to somehow transcend fascism. We're going to be some kind of neo-Americanism. Something that hasn't been seen before. The globalists, they merged fascism with communism and they made it globalism. We have to somehow figure out how to merge populism, nationalism, and capitalism with something else almost indescribable. We have to decide as a nation how we become an adult. Right now, we're like 16 years old. We got some ideas about who we want to be. Maybe we got a girlfriend who's a bad influence. But there's still hope yet that we could snap out of it. And hopefully by the time we're 18, we've got the balls to know what it means to be American, to claim our own identity. Folks, we're coming up on another break. More news on the other side. Please go to the AliceJonesStore.com right now if you haven't already. Get the Ultra Methylene Red. I think it's going to sell out tonight if it hasn't sold out already. Ultra Methylene Red is sour strawberry, focus and clarity. This is meant to be a methylene blue super enhancer, but it does work as a standalone product. It is incredible for things like your memory, your focus. It's got anti-aging properties, specifically as it pertains to cognitive aging. It's a great de-stressor for the oxidative stress that we feel in our brain as we age. And it's got all sorts of other benefits. I mean, it's got B6 in it, B12 in it, all the best versions, highest quality of all these ingredients, plus many other ingredients with studies to back all the incredible effects, migraine prevention, homocysteine regulation, antioxidant and cellular protection, and it goes on and on and on and on and on. This has been the most powerful substance that I've ever taken since the methylene blue came out. I take them both together every single day. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now, get ultra methylene red, and be the reason we will always be on the air.
Here it is, ladies and gentlemen. And it's available right now exclusively, limited first run. A little more comes in a month, but they got a limited run. Chase, tell us about what is in Ultra Methylene Red.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never been prouder of a product launch than I am of this. I really had a heavy hand in this.
And so we put this together as both a methylene blue super enhancer, especially with the cognitive focus benefits, the mitochondria empowerment, and the brain dropping off an extra electron for the brain cells. But it's also an incredible standalone product. I mean, just to give you an example, Alex, one of our best sellers when we were still operating the InfoWars store was Ultra 12. And this has everything that Ultra 12 had in it. 206,000% your daily value of vitamin B12 through methylcobalamin. It's even got the CoQ10 in it, of course, which is huge. But this is the most impressive compilation of ingredients that I've ever seen in a supplement. I'm very proud that we launched it. I'm very proud that it's our second tincture on the market. And when I'm looking through these studies, I mean, here are the benefits that are listed. Migraine prevention, cardiovascular help, cellular protection. We've got neurotransmitter synthesis and mood helps. People with depression, according to these studies that I've looked at here. Even energy and fatigue reduction, more cardio production, cognitive support, mood cognition, endothelial function. I mean, it goes on and on. Nerve regeneration, cognitive and mood support.
Everything we sell is the most insanely powerful, best thing we can come up with because this is what we take. So that's why everybody just raves and raves and raves about the products at thealexjonesstore.com.
In times uncertain of what the future holds, when cameras see everything and silence speaks louder than words, you'll need more than just awareness. You'll need focus. You'll need power. Fuel your mind. Energize your body. Stay sharp in the age of control with Methylene Blue from thealexjonesstore.com. Because no matter how advanced the system becomes, your energy is your freedom.